Blog Talk Radio.
Happy birthday. Yeah. We want to dedicate this song to everyone who has a birthday today. And that means you, and you, and you, and you. Because having a birthday is a special occasion. And we hope you have a happy celebration and a many, many more to come.
Welcome back live on Tribe Family Channels, A Book is Born by Gumbo for the Soul International. I am Beverly Black and I am the CEO. I said the CEO of Gumbo for the Soul International. Tribe Family Channel and A Book is Born is part of our family brands. So I am so excited. Our nationwide lineup of seasoned authors, along with our generous sponsors, have teamed up to bring right content and relatable dialogue for your listening and reading pleasure. So grab a good seat and prepare to feast as we dish out this serving of gumbo. You won't leave hungry. Our guest speaker today is radio personality Lori L.J. Johnson to discuss her literary journey and give us the 411 on where to grab a copy of her new page turner. If you are listening online and you would like to call in and have a question or a comment, please call 515-605-9351. If you are wanting to go online, perhaps you're getting a bad signal with your cell phone, you can listen through our studio at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. Now, sit back, relax. I'm going to bring on our guest after we pay a couple of bills around here.
You know the name.
You saw their story on Undone.
You remember the hit.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the legendary Shylight featuring Marshall Thompson.
For over 50 years, the legendary Shylights have performed all over the world to standing room only crowds.
And now here's a brand new book.
From the only original remaining member of this fabulous group.
The book is entitled Last Man Standing by Marshall Thompson, which chronicles the group's rise to fame with two number one hits and dozens of Billboard top 10 hits.
The Shylights were forced to be reckoned with. Last Man Standing is the story of a personal side of a man who sang about love, romance, and dreams. It will have you laughing out loud one moment and tearing at your heartstrings the very next. Last Man Standing by the legendary Marshall Thompson. Available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and eBooks.
Ever wanted to get away from it all? Maybe
maybe an inexpensive honeymoon, or even a second honeymoon, or just a mini vacation for the two of you, now you can. You can go to the Shalites home, away from home, when they're not on tour. It's called the Shalites Dream Castle Villa, where you can relax in luxurious surroundings, where the staff and all amenities are at your full disposal. Their private gated villa offers 24-hour on-property security. Dream Castle Villa is just 20 minutes away from the newly constructed International Airport in Montego Bay, Jamaica. Enjoy incredible views of the Caribbean Sea and the Iron Shore Golf Course. The Shalites Dream Castle Villa is a relaxing, soothing, and romantic experience that's excellent for small private weddings, wedding renewals, engagement, anniversaries, or just a mini vacation for two. For reservations, visit their website at dreamcastlevilla.com or call toll-free at 888-747-9802 and see what other luxuries await you. Relax, just like the Shalites at The Shalites Dream Castle Villa, and hold on to your dreams.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, live on Tribe Family Channels, A Book Is Born. I am Beverly Flack, and I am your host. Please help me welcome Lori L.J. Johnson. Hello, Queen. How are you?
Woo, Queen. I am telling you, I am doing excellent. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Oh, my goodness. I love your energy. Thank you so much for being here. I'm excited. This is going to be a fascinating conversation. So I want to remind our listeners, when it is time to open up the phone lines, all they have to do is press the number one key, and their hand will be raised in our studio. They can do that ahead of time, so that we will be able to take their questions. So I'm going to start with just a little bit about myself and my writing journey. I am the publisher of Gumbel for the Soul Publications. We have anthologies that focus on health and wellness, literacy and adoption, the family, and foster care. So we are currently having an open call for submissions for four different anthologies right now. You can go to www.gumbelforthesoulinternational.com. And if you want to be on this program, you need to email me at tribefamilychannel@gmail.com before I go on hiatus at the end of April to work on these fascinating books. And we also have a book coming out with myself and Marshall Thompson of The Shalites. Hence, that's why you hear the different commercials. We have a radio show here that will be converted into book form coming out in August. So my writing journey began focusing on literacy. Lori, how did your writing journey begin? What motivated you to become an author?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, that's an awesome question. Thank you. First of all, I just want to start by saying I just give honor to the Most High God. Without him, where would we be? Without him, her, you know, we're just so grateful.
Thank you, God Almighty.
Awesome, awesome. Yes, yes, where would we be without him? My mom used to say, I don't even want to think about it. Don't even think about it. So I just want to, again, appreciate you and all the work that you've done. You know, there's never a coincidence when people meet and when our paths cross. And like we said, we kind of just stumbled across each other, you know, online. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just grateful for this connection. And I know that, you know, it'll yield the fruit. Yes, it's because you're doing an awesome job, you know, with the legendary.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, of the Shalites. He is certainly a legacy performer, someone who has definitely influenced a lot of our lives, and all of those beautiful love songs that I always like to say, we don't hear music like that too much anymore. You know, those lyrics,
yes.
The way it comes through and just really moves you, and, you know, just made love, love, you know, it just made love what it was, what it is, you know. It's almost like we're afraid of love sometimes. So, you know, the Shalites, have you seen her? I mean, you know, it's like,
and
I don't
know.
Even know. that changed my life. So,
Done
and all that you're doing with Thompson of the Yes, ma'am.
Thank you
and, again,
so very much.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It takes all of us, voices like yours, his, my own, and the many people that help us all become who we are. We lift each other up. So thank you for sharing your voice here on this platform. And for the accolades and compliments, I feel extremely blessed by God to have, you know, just so many people, from children, entrepreneurs, to authors, to survivors, people that don't mind sharing their stories and, you know, really giving us strength to press through, because you really cannot walk in anyone else's shoes. God has not given you the grace to go through what I've been through, and vice versa, you see. And so the legends, like the musicians, Marshall Thompson of the Shy Life and others, it just does my heart good. Like you said, we grew up on that music, and it's when those crooners were giving us real love music, not, you know, this, you know, I don't know what they want to call it, lap dance music today, but it's not music. And so if they call it trap music and bumble rap, you don't even have to be literate anymore to spit out anything. They don't care how ignorant you are, you know, and we're not going to even talk about, but we are going to talk about books, but we're not going to even talk about the fact that, you know, books aren't promoted as much as the ignorance of just, you know, the dumbed down intellect that we have to deal with today. So I certainly appreciate your voice. And what motivated you to become an author, Queen?
You know, and I thank you again for that question. What motivated me was the adversity in my life. And I truly believe that journaling, just writing to get it off my head, get it off my chest, just express the emotions. I'm what's called a logophile. A friend of mine, and I was like, what does that mean, a logophile? L-O-G-O-P-H. And she was like, it means a lover of words. You know, and I think I've been a lover of words for a very long time. Ever since I was a little girl, my mom was a school teacher. I had a great experience in life for a very long time with I had a love affair, I should say, with books, you know, from a very young age. Would take me and my brother to the library, and, you know, that was like the highlight. It was a field trip for me, you know, to go to the library. And I think that because of the things that I experienced in my young life, at a young age, reading would always, you know, be an escape. It was an escape for me. And it took me outside of the pain of the things that were going on in my reality. And so when I was able to read, and when I started writing, and I just loved the way, you know, people would put the words together in books, and it would just be like, oh, wow, I like the way she said that, or I like the way he put that. You know, so, you know, it started me off in that journey of writing poetry. And then when I, you know, at a young age started understanding that the things that I was going through in my life were probably not the most, the best things that I could have experienced, coming through that pain, putting it on paper really helped me. So that's what really started it. And, you know, just to be very clear, just a little bit about my background, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. And I always loved Brooklyn, New York. Shout out to my Brooklyn, New York, to my family listening in New York. Hey, you know, Cynthia, you know, Sister Benete. I just start naming names of people listening, and Sister Millie, and, you know, people that are listening now that, just like I said, you know, were just a part of my life and a strength in my life. So, you know, it wasn't always the best of times, but there were the best, you know, times that there weren't always the good times, but the good and the bad shaped our lives. And so when I think back a lot of times over, you know, the things that have happened in my life, which is the basis of the book, In Defense of Dinah, Coming Out of the Shadow of Shame, I really didn't have the words to put to being molested at a young age, at 8 or 9 years old. I didn't have the words.
Okay, well, let me stop you there because I'm going to ask you a little bit further down to get into the book itself. But from what I can surmise, and thank you for that extensive answer because it really helps us get to know you when you go in length. And it really helps me to understand, well, where are our correlations? And I hear a lot of the correlations. But first, it sounds like what motivated you to become an author was out of an experience that prompted you to journal to get it out. So,
yeah,
I do want to deal further with that. A lot of times we go through things, and one of the things that I growing up, I was always fond of words, and like you, I loved going to the library. Oh, my goodness, if that was not the field trip, you get to, be quiet, line up. The teacher said we could go to the library if we be quiet and line up, think a while, and behave. We out of here, you know.
Yeah.
And, I can remember just really wanting that experience so bad. You're literally in line just praying, Lord, please let them settle down already so we can march down to that library because we are, you know, we're off to a whole new world. And when you open that book, it takes you away. So I could really,
yes,
it took me back, and I could really relate to that experience. And, you know, sadly, just opposed to today's times where the parents are, you know, in the PTA meetings and requesting banned books for, you know, one reason or another. True enough, there should not be certain things taught to our children without our consent. You don't just get carte blanche to tell my child whatever you want to because I dropped them off at your schoolhouse. Are you crazy? But on the other hand, we really want to keep our minds open to real-life experiences and what people go through. And so I salute the fact that you were able to pen your real-life experience and be transparent in the book form to let us know about something that you have gone through. Now, back to the writing vein of it, are there any other writers in your family?
I don't think so. I you know, I've never been asked that question, and I really never stopped to think about whether there are any other people in my family that write. And so I would have to say no, not to my knowledge, you know, because sometimes, you know, as far as journaling can be kind of personal, and maybe there are people in my family that journal, and maybe they have some, you know, they have a little diary that they write in. Not necessarily to be published, but just to get out their feelings. So that's a good question. And, you know, I might be open to be trying to figure out if there is anybody in my family that does have an interest in writing. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you never know. There might be a book down in the 1800s that you dust it off and read it closely enough. there may be some... somewhere in the ancestral chain, you never know. But so
true.
To date, how many books have you published?
You know, I have been a co-author in two other books, and In Defense of Dinah was my first solo publication. So my fifth grade teacher,
mm-hmm,
whom to this day I still have a relationship with, he is a prolific writer. So he's written several books. And you know, when we were like in the fifth and sixth grade, and also as teenagers, like when I was 16 and 17 years old, after my fifth grade experience with him, he reached out to us to his special fifth grade class. He always liked to call us the intellectually gifted class that he had. And so he reached out,
mm-hmm,
to us to be a part of a project. He was working on a book called How to Grow a Child, a Child's Advice to Parents. And so that book went through like two separate productions. So the very first time it came out, we contributed as young people, young in our younger years, And then years later, he republished the book after we had grown and had children of our own, and he got a different perspective from the group of people, the group of students that he asked to participate with that book. So that was pretty interesting because, as a young person, when we first contributed to the book, it came out, and I believe it was maybe 76 or something like that. And then later on, like I said, once we grew into adults and had, families of our own, he did the remake of the book. So that was one book. And then we contributed to a book called, that book just escapes me. But it was another book that he asked me to contribute some of my own personal feelings about the writing process. And I thought that was pretty interesting, too. So I can say that I'm a contributing author, and he always tells me you're a published author because of those two. And then, like I said, In Defense of Dinah, my own work came out in 2011. Yeah, these years go by so fast. So this is 2022. Yes, so I think it came out in 2018, yes. So three to
yes,
answer your question.
Well, thank you, and congratulations on your book, hence the title of this radio show, A Book is Born, and that was the Shy Lights at the beginning, singing happy birthday once again, because when you are pregnant with something such as a book, you truly feel like you are in a gestational period that is like nothing that you've ever gone through. And that book will put you in labor and bring you through some pains and have you going through it. And I know from the standpoint of an author and a publisher. So now, are you self-published? Are you represented by a literary agent or publishing house?
No, I think I'm self-published. Is that what you call yourself when you do the Amazon deal?
Mm-hmm. On-demand, Amazon.
Oh, right, yes. Amazon.
Okay.
Yes, self-publishing.
Right.
But my fifth grade teacher, he did have, I think one of the books was produced by Scholastic. Scholastic is through the public school system, I think. Applied.
Yes, I'm very familiar with Scholastic. Scholastic Publishing House.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
So,
you pulled that one out of the past. Scholastic, come on now. We read those when we were growing up.
Yeah, I forget you are a New Yorker. New Yorker. So you know.
No. I'm actually San Francisco, California. But, You know, I have people all over, a lot of people from New York that are partnered with me and on this radio show. But, I also want to shout out your fifth grade teacher. Are you kidding me? Now,
Bernard,
I'm still in touch. I'm sorry?
His name is Bernard Percy.
Well, shout out Mr. Bernard Percy. And, it just goes to show that being young and impressionable and speaking into someone can really manifest. And so to the adults out there, when you see potential in a child, you speak empowerment and you speak over that child in a way where a seed will be planted that will manifest in that child so that child can feel their potential down inside of them, because it's about how you make a person feel. You can make a person feel empowered to bring forth greatness, or you can make them feel oppressed and they will push that which is down inside of them away and never allow their own genius to manifest. So I really shout out your teacher because he saw in you at an early age, and that is, we put it off on the teachers, but it's the parents' job. You're supposed to know your child and when you take that, when you send your child to school, you're letting the school system know who your child is, what type of personality your child has, the likes and the, you know, dislikes. But there are other characteristics and desires and talents that blossom in front of the teacher's eyes that they too should what? Speak to that child. I see you're gifted in this area or in that area, and that can help that child manifest something in them that they, you know, might not have otherwise even, you know, gave time or development to until someone else recognized and noticed also. Then a light goes on. You know, you can turn lights on in people. So your teacher turned that light on in you, and you're still connected. It's just fascinating. That's another book. Now, how do you come up with the ideas? We know out of your first book, would you give us the title and the description and everything? And we know that that was born out of an experience. The stories that you have co-authored in other books, let us know how you came up with those ideas and expound on your writings.
Sure. Thank you for that. In defense of Dinah, as you stated, it came out of an experience, coming out of the shadow of shame. It was born out of a time in my life where I was trying to process the experience, the unfortunate experience of being molested at a young age of 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And I had never really put it to words. I'd never, you know, thought about of publishing it, let alone because I was trying to process the pain from that. And ironically, I was going through, you know, that was during my time of being in the fifth grade. And I mm-hmm. think that experience of my fifth grade, you know, being so motivated by my fifth grade teacher that he drew on my gifts, not just in the fifth grade, but even past the fifth grade, even once I graduated out of the fifth grade, even once I, you know, went on through life, he was always very much a part of my life and speaking life into my gifts that he saw. And so, you know, in trying to deal with this experience that happened during the time I was, you know, going through the in the fifth grade, you know, that was a major part. I think that he really helped me in terms of putting it on paper and expressing it, because he would always encourage me to use my voice. He would tell me things like, you know, you're very gifted in your communication. Because he always liked for me to write. He would always, you know, get me to memorize things like the Gettysburg Address and get up and recite the Gettysburg Address, you know, and then we would have a contest. Yeah. I was the salutatorian, and one of my best friends was the valedictorian, and, you know, he would constantly, not constantly, but he would put us in situations where we kind of like, I guess we're in a little bit of a competition, friendly, loving competition with one another, you know, in different mm-hmm. things. We would put on school plays. The school plays were very, very vivid. I can remember them being the most, we were like the class that was programmed during our assembly programs. We had gifted guest speakers come through, people like the legendary Ruby Dee and Ossie Davis. So we were impacted, you know, at our school at a young age by these prolific people, these actors and activists in the, you know, the times that we were living in. Of course, it was a very tense time, you know, kind of like, you know, during the civil rights times and things like that. So all of that just shaped my, you know, writing, all of that shaped my desire. And I may have forgotten your question, but I want to just, you know, I can't get away from how impactful Mr. Percy was to me developing the gift of writing and getting involved mm-hmm. with writing. And when he would mm-hmm. ask me to be a part of that project that he worked on, that he was working on, How to Grow a Child, and also creative writing, you know, when he wanted to kind of teach creative writing, that those two things just really were big to me in helping me to develop it. And I'm really way overdue in writing more. I think I have, mm-hmm. I do need to, you know, get the next book out of me. There are lots of books inside of me, and I really want to focus now and really get the rest of those books in me that I do feel are inside of me out. But that was very near and dear to my heart. Yeah, In Defense of Dinah definitely was a birthing that was a long process because of the process of the healing process took a long time, and I'm still healing. I mean, I still have moments. And so getting that book out was definitely, you know, like a birth, and was like, you know, when you finally give birth, it's like, whew, you can exhale because it's like you finally get this
right,
out of you.
Right.
And so
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, thank you so very much, and I understand completely. I consider myself the medulla of manuscripts. So when I say it's a birthing process, it truly is. You feel impregnated, and you're finally going through the steps, and you're going through, because you're bringing up different feelings. If it's a nonfiction memoir, you're bringing up all of these different feelings. You're revisiting pain, and sometimes you're discovering feelings that you didn't know were even there, lying beneath the surface, because you tapped into something that, an experience that still left behind memories which are connected to what? The emotions behind that pain. So when you tap into those emotions and you're going through that writing process, you can laugh, you can cry, you can get angry. Oh my goodness. Rest in peace to Sheila Ray Charles, Ray Charles's daughter. When I read her memoir, I never laughed and cried and got so angry, and just, I was just inside of the book. And then at that time, I was able to call her and say, girl, Lord, have mercy, you know, because it takes you on a ride. And when you can really get those emotions out and take that reader on that ride with you, there's just no words. There's just no words. But we're going to go to a quick commercial break. If anyone wants to ask a question of our guest, just press 1 on your pen or on your keypad, and I will see your hand up, and I'll open your line at that point. But we will be right back on A Book Is Born with Beverly Black and Laurie Johnson via Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand, right after this message.
I know building a website can be intimidating, but you need a place where your audience can connect with you. Instead of fighting with technology, try the easiest, most flexible website builder available. With templates for all types of websites, ranging from landing pages to e-commerce, Urban Book Editor's platform makes creating an author website quick and easy. Just add a section, upload your photos and videos, type your text, and you're in business. It couldn't be easier. And if you sign up for an annual plan, you can get 10% off the first year. Just use discount code FIRSTYEAR. That's 1-STYEAR. The number 1-STYEAR in all caps. Take advantage of the 14-day free trial. No credit card is needed. Visit urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website from the menu bar at the top of the page. No more struggling with technology. No more paying a small fortune to developers. Create beautiful websites without learning to code. Spend more time writing and less time worrying about your website. Just go to urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website. You'll see how easy it is to build a great website to showcase your work. Go to urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website today.
All right, welcome back live on Tribe Family Channels, A Book Is Born. I am Beverly Black. It is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to be on here with Laurie L.J. Johnson discussing her book journey. Now, Laurie, you really went in depth about your book's description and your writing, your particular writing style, and especially, you know, the journaling piece, getting it out and what have you. What were some of the challenges you faced as a writer? Like, are there things that you would do differently?
Yeah, that's a good question. Challenges as a writer, sometimes, you know, I find that the way I see things, you know, I write from a spiritual perspective. A lot of this book kind of stemmed from my religious journey as well, my spiritual journey, because the story of Dinah, just to put it in perspective, Genesis chapter 34, there is a story of a rape in the book, and it's amazing to me how many people don't realize that Dinah was a character, a biblical character, who was actually raped in the Bible. Genesis chapter 34 tells that story. So when I, as a young person, heard that story for the very first time, I can remember feeling very sad for her, because the way the story was presented, it, of course, in a way that the elders were in the religious organization that I had belonged to at the time, they put it in a way that made it seem as if it was her fault that she got raped, because she didn't stay within the confines of her religious background, upbringing, if she had not gone out to the daughters of the land. In other words, these worldly people, quote unquote, these people who were not like her, had she not gone out to be befriend these people, that maybe that wouldn't have happened. And I always used to think that was so unfair to portray that in a way that, you know, like today we say, oh, what were you wearing? Mm-hmm. You know, when a, you know, it's like you probably, you know, had too much to drink, or you shouldn't have been there, you know, things that incriminate the victim, like make it her fault. So that always makes
right.
me very
the
sad.
Right, the shaping of the narrative. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I just want to interject that it's actually the shaping of the narrative so that the facts give the actual assailant a pass, and it still plays out today. So you can draw a line from Dinah in the Bible, you know, to Diana in, you know, Boston or Brooklyn or the Bahamas, you know, in modern day. And the fact that, especially under the guise of religion, come on now, you don't really, do you really want to go there? You know, I created the radio show, The Woman at the Well, The Men at the Well. I created The Woman at the Well, and all I wanted to know is, where are the men? Okay. She was supposed to be with five, and then the sixth wasn't her. So where are they if we're only hearing from her, you see? And so it's just what you're saying about Dinah and the victimization of, you know, her character, you know, a character assassination, you know, like you said, you were drunk, you were loose, you were, you know, shouldn't have been down there or out in the streets associating with the heathens and just all of that. But go ahead.
No, and it's true. So that was, you know, really one of the biggest things that set me off, you know, about her journey, and about, you know, and she never was recorded as having anything to say. She, you know, so I thought it was like, you know, a silent, you know, I wanted to be her voice, so to speak. I wanted to, you know, just vindicate her name and just clear her name, you know, because she never, there was never anything said. Now, her brothers, on the other hand, they thought that what was done to her was so bad that they set up a situation where they actually went and killed those the people over in that, you know, in that part of the land where, you know, who raped her. It was like, well, treat our sister like some common, you know, prostitute. No. So they set it up, and, you know, they slaughtered all, you know, not just the person who raped her, but, you know, the other, you know, people in that land. So they may have taken it, they took it very seriously, what was done to their sister, and their desire to get revenge for what had happened to her, you know, they took it very seriously. So, you know, like I said, but it was just my feelings for Dinah and her silence, because women suffer in shame. They suffer in silence now. Women suffer in silence. Things happen. They try to push it away. You know, they don't want to say anything. One of the number one statistics of women who are victims of assault, rape and sexual assault or molestation, you know, they don't want anybody to know when it happens. They don't want anybody to know. And in my case, you know, it happened that, you know, there were other victims. He turned out to be a serial rapist in another situation, and he had other victims, but the other victims didn't want to come forward. So I was angry, you know, that angered me. And I'm like, no, I'm going to come forward and I'll be the state's witness, you know, and that is what happened. So, you know, God strengthened me to be able to come forward and talk about this, the, you know, and be the state's witness and talk about it and make sure, and I was able to make sure that this serial rapist was put away. So that was kind of like a couple of situations in my life. One at 9 years old, the 9 year old molestation took place with a family member. At 22 years old, when someone broke into my house, the stranger that ended up being the serial rapist. So the book talks about this. It's kind of like, it's like a progression, you know. And then it was again later on in life with an acquaintance that I knew of that just really took advantage of a situation when I says, you know, no, no means no, you know. And but that was like, that happens a lot. You know, you get women who, you know, befriend men and they think that they can trust them. And then, you know, in a situation where, you know, they may be alone and just be, you know, that just happens. And the man just kind of overpowers the situation and takes advantage of the situation and does what he wants to do. So in this case, and I just want to tie all this together, the book kind of talks about that. And that's really what, you know, kind of like looked at each situation. I felt like it was like, I got to get all of this out. It was like, I feel like I'm tired of being a victim. You know, from 9 years old, 22 years, 30-something years old. It's like, you know, and so it was, yeah. That book probably can have some other versions to it. There could probably be another version to that book as well. But like I said, initially, the Dinah that I'm defending is the biblical character in Genesis chapter 34 because her story is a lot like mine.
Wow. I really appreciate that response. And what I draw out of, I draw a lot out of what you just said, but something that you said without saying it that I want to say, if that makes sense, is the stigma of shame. When women go through, and men, people that are abused, they also go through the stigma of shame, because this is what is part of actually victimizing the victim and giving a pass to the actual assailant, and that can cripple one into being silent. Now, I appreciate you using your voice and bringing truth to power in the form of your book and your testimony on our platform. We're welcoming you back on Tri-Family Channel on March the 27th. You'll be with us discussing your influences on Women of Honor. That's March 27th back here on Tri-Family Channel. And then we also have you on the calendar to really go down into your testimony about your story. And that show is called The Well. Like I said, I created the Woman at the Well radio show, and I wanted to have that conversation. I've had people on that show that have been left for dead, people that have gone through hell, and stories that have been so horrendous and heinous that you couldn't even imagine someone having the culpability of carrying out such an act, but they do. People are can be monsters. And like I tell people, Frankenstein is not the monster, okay? Frankenstein is not the monster. So the woman at the well and the men at the well is now simply the well, and we will welcome you there on April 24th here on Tribe Family Channel. Now, we have a lot of people on the lines. I see you. If you want to speak to our guest, have a question or a comment, press the number one on your keypad, and I will see your line lit up and open it up for you. We're going to go right back to a quick commercial break and come back with Lori Johnson on the woman, or excuse me, on A Book Is Born with Beverly Black, yours truly. And I see some hands going up, so we will definitely be opening up your line. Get ready. I'm going to call out the last four digits of your phone number when we get back.
Motivational, educational, informative, inspirational, relevant, knowledgeable, nationally, internationally. These are the words seminar participants have used to describe this dynamic presenter. Topics as non-threatening as customer service. Topics as delicate as race relations, diversity, and inclusion. Dr. Maxine Bryan has repeatedly captured the hearts and minds of many audiences. Dr. Bryan's expertise has assisted private industry and nonprofit businesses as they move forward to realize their desired goals. Call Pat Maltz at 612-876-7964. Book Dr. Bryan. Take your workforce to the next level.
Welcome back live on A Book Is Born via Tribe Family Channel, a gumbo for the Soul International Family brand, created, owned, and operated by yours truly, Beverly Black. And I am here on A Book Is Born with my guest, Lori L.J. Johnson, discussing her book journey, her literary journey. We're going to take some calls as we get ready to wind down to the end of the show. So with the last four numbers of 1127, your line is open. Who's calling and what is your question or comment?
Greetings, my sisters. My name is Abanichi Ojochamachala, and I am a sister of Lori Johnson. We refer to her as Oma Onyeti of the Agala Kingdom. So Oma Onyeti is a very powerful person in our tribe of the Agala Kingdom. She is a princess who has been received by the king as someone who is found worthy and worthy to receive title. So all of the daughters of Agala Kingdom, USA and beyond, we emulate our Oma Onyeti. Her experiences and high achievements have further deemed her worthy of receiving such honors.
Amen, and, you know, amen. Now, did you have a question or a comment with regards to her book and the show A Book Is Born?
Yes, yes, I do have a comment. Going back to her title as being a tigress, I feel that she has given little girls an ability to speak up and to be empowered. You know, through her book, she exposes all of the different things that a lot of women hold secret and dear to them, and they don't express any of it. But she had so much courage to come out into the world and share her story that I feel that, you know, little girls today, they look at women on TV and feel like they are perfected. You know, they have this perfection about them, you know, but it still leaves them having this low self-esteem. So Omoyete is a true reflection of women to give little girls the true reality of the fact that you can still be beautiful, still be intelligent, and still have gone through some trauma or family dysfunction in your life.
Thank you so much for calling and tuning in. Please continue to hold, and we're going to get responses from Lori. Lori, do you have a response with that statement? Thank you so much, caller, and we're going to definitely welcome the others to give comments. But what is your comments for our, not only our caller, thank you so much, but also the rest of the audience? You know, your audience is listening, and your readers are understanding that you have used your voice to empower others, to break the silence, to encourage them to speak up and out, and to be in power. And really, when you tell your story, you're taking your power back. So it sounds about that power that you're walking in, and how you're a reflection and a real woman to others, like the caller evokes about you. Just you radiate. You're wearing that crown well.
Thank you. Thank you for that. First of all, I do want to give praise and honor for my sister, Beniche, for that, you know, that praise that she gave. I really want to thank God. I am grateful to the ancestors and for both my sister for bringing that up. When she said what she said about the honor of being considered Omonyete, what it does for me is also helps me to recognize that our ancestors, our mothers, our aunties, our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers who were violated in the most degrading way of being raped, that also I speak for them as well. For those of our ancestors whose voices, who were silenced, who did not even have control over their own bodies because they were so hideously taken advantage of by the oppressors, by the slave masters.
Mm-hmm.
By, you know, so I stand and I speak on behalf of those women who are not able to speak physically today. I feel as an that I have been given the privilege and the distinction by the Agulla Kingdom, as my dear sister said, to also speak on behalf of those my dear ancestors that were raped and mercilessly, without mercy, taken advantage of. So not just Dinah in the Bible, but for those of my ancestors and my sisters and our ancestors, you know, that were not able to say anything, you know. So I want to say so much for you, my dear Beniche, for bringing that up and for making me also be aware of my responsibility as a representative. That's a whole story. That's a whole show in itself.
That's another story. That we're definitely
show.
Appreciative. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
God, well, thank you. Yes, ma'am.
God bless. Yes, God bless. We thank all of you for listening and tuning in. Thank you for those kind words from your dear sister, our dear sister, and, you know, the other listeners that are reaping from the empowerment and from your words of strength and truth. And so I want to thank you for also being a woman of power, strength, and truth. Now, with the last few minutes that we have left, would you be so kind as to, again, let our listeners know the title of your book, where they can purchase their own copy, if you have any events coming up, and where they can catch up with you so people can connect with you on social media and grab a copy of your book.
Thank you so very much, Sister Beverly. Once again, I thank you for allowing me this platform. Time really flies really quickly, but I can be reached on social media
Yes, and, you know, the name of the book, once again, is In Defense of Dinah, Coming Out of the Shadow of Shame. Like I said, I am on social media, Facebook, mostly Moments with LJ is, you know, what I can be found there as. And my Igala name is Ufe de Ojo Agula, which means God is love, and one who remains will never go astray. Agula, one who remains shall never go astray. You know, names are very
beautiful,
powerful, and that's when they gave us, when we had our African names, those were very powerful things that are said over us, you know, as every time the word, mm-hmm. the name is said. So that's my name, and, you know, Ufe de Ojo Agula. So that's what you can find me on Facebook, and also Instagram, Moments with LJ. So if anyone wants to purchase the book, you know, they can reach out to me on Facebook, direct message, as well as, you know, Instagram, you know, Amazon too. I always tell people, like, I bought a box of books because I was going to go on a book tour. I was going to go traveling, and then, of course, COVID hit. So I personally have some books, and I'd be more than happy to, you know, as any of the listeners reach out and they'd like to purchase a copy of the book, I'd be happy to get their information and send it out to them. And, you know, I'm so very grateful for anyone who would like to follow the story and hear the story. I'm grateful for the upcoming in March and April, you know, the other times that you and I will be speaking, my sister Beverly. And so at that time we can also, you know, I'd be happy to send out, like I said, send out the book. And I'm looking forward to more conversations with you as well. This has just been so very rich. I was so excited. You know, I was just coming out the gate in the very beginning. I even kind of thought yesterday, I was like, did I miss something when I called in yesterday? I was thinking yesterday.
I was excited to.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you for this opportunity. I'm grateful.
Well,
yes.
Thank you. Thank you so very much, Queen. And it is an honor on our behalf as well. We could not do this without your kindness, your sponsorship. We operate by philanthropy. Our books are published and then given away. We focus on literacy, adoption, foster care, women's health, and men's health. We have books coming up that focus on suicide, men and women that are called to serve. Our second installment of the Women of Honor series, the foreword is by Dr. Yvonne Sion, who happens to be Dave Chappelle's mother, and Sion is her grandmother's African-given surname. So that's a whole nother story in of itself when we think about tracing our ancestral roots and honoring our ancestors. So shout out to all the sisters and brothers that have taken the time out of their schedule to tune in. I want to thank you on behalf of Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul International Family brand. We do help people learn to matriculate their way through the publishing industry. I am the medulla of manuscripts. If you are ready to get published, we have everything in-house. So just reach out, go to our website at www.gumboforthesoulinternational.com. You can also email gumboforthesoulinternational@gmail.com. I am available on all social media, facebook.com/tribefamilychannel, on Twitter at gumboforthesoul, and also at tribefamilyus. I'm Beverly Black, the CEO of Tribe Family Channel and Gumbo for the Soul. Lori Johnson, Sister Queen, thank you so much for taking out the time with me. I want to say happy birthday on behalf of your book. And this is A Book Is Born. So if anyone wants to have a book drop party, if you're interested in consulting and learning how to publish your book, be in touch. Don't forget that we are still celebrating Black History Month. We're going to continue all year long. Next week, we will debut on Tribe Family Channel with The Sounds of Blackness, and that show is called A Black State of Mind. And we are going to be discussing just what it takes to survive and go through what we have gone through historically, the consciousness of Black people, how we've had to really take on a whole different character to sidestep Jim Crow, the KKK, and even today you have Black folks that have a different consciousness in what they deem as this game called life and survival. A lot of us have to walk in our true, total, empowering, elevated mindsets, and we refuse to bend to that level of consciousness. And, you know, that's no slight to those that have had to, because that is how we survived as a people. Had it not been for the enslaved, had it not been for the sharecroppers, had it not been for the civil rights leaders, had it not been for the Black Panthers and the uprising against the oppressors, had it not been for the marching, the fighting, and the praying, we would not be here. But the fact that we are here, it bears to examine our level of consciousness and how we must rise. And it's not enough to be woke. We must be enlightened. We must be conscious. So stay conscious, A Black State of Mind, debuting March 1st with the Grammy-nominated group, The Sounds of Blackness, and my co-host will be Mr. Stephen Hutchinson. So be blessed and be a blessing. Continue to tune in. This Sunday we will have a men's circle. It is called Men of Honor Roundtable Discussion. We have six gentlemen coming together this Sunday, and they're going to be talking about what brothers don't normally talk about. So I'm interested in hearing what they will have to say. Feel free to tune in. And again, thank you, Laurie. God bless you too. All of you, our listeners, have an amazing weekend. Take care, and thanks for tuning in. Thank you. Good night. God bless.
Thanks so much.
Happy birthday. Yeah. We want to dedicate this song to everyone who has a birthday today. And that means you and you and you and you. Because having a birthday is a special occasion. And we hope you have a happy celebration and a many, many more to come. your birthday once again, and we hope you have a minute more to come. Yeah, this song is just for you. Happy birthday.